The pieces are in place for a high-risk Israeli-Palestinian summit meeting tomorrow at the White House. President Clinton has invited Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to the White House, and both men have accepted. The summit will begin with separate meetings between U.S. and Israeli officials on the one hand and U.S. and Palestinian officials on the other. Expectations for this summit are modest, but many people fear that if they are not met, Israeli-Palestinian clashes might resume. NPR's Ted Clark reports.
Prime Minister Netanyahu is expected to arrive in Washington around midnight. Yasser Arafat, who hesitated before accepting the invitation, now says he will come and should arrive in the early hours of the morning. King Hussein of Jordan arrives this evening, and President Mubarak of Egypt has asked that Foreign Minister Amr Moussa attend in his place. U.S. officials will confer with the various delegations separately to begin with, but say the Mideast leaders will also meet face-to-face during the 2 days of talks in Washington, despite the anger and hostility that resulted from last week's clashes, which left scores of Palestinians and Israelis dead. U.S. officials, who have nurtured the Arab-Israeli peace process for more than two decades, are normally the last to give up hope, but even they are warning that the process is in danger of collapse. State Department spokesman Nicholas Burns.
The peace process is in a very difficult state. There's no question about it. The events of last week were significant and horrible and damaging to both sides. And that is why the United States felt it necessary and prudent and wise to convene the summit here this week. It's an extraordinary thing to do, but we felt an extraordinary step was required.
Few expect Prime Minister Netanyahu to reverse his decision to open an archaeological tunnel near Muslim holy sites in Jerusalem, the decision that sparked last week's violence. He has said unequivocally that he will keep the tunnel open. And few expect the Prime Minister to make any new political or territorial concessions to the Palestinians. His government says that would reward Palestinian violence. But U.S. officials hope that the Israeli and Palestinian leaders will act on old territorial and political promises, promises that were made in the so-called Oslo peace agreements, promises that have not been fully implemented. If the unfulfilled promises from the Oslo agreements can be implemented, it will create the appearance of progress, even though the concessions have already been agreed to. State Department spokesman Nick Burns described the goal of tomorrow's summit this way.
That they will begin a substantive discussion, begin again a substantive discussion of the issues that are needed to be discussed to fulfill the Oslo Accords. And there are many such issues.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has already promised to fulfill the Oslo agreements signed by his predecessors, so he could implement those agreements fully without making any new concessions. Robert Satloff of the Washington Institute for Near East Policy.
Inside the Oslo process itself, already signed, are four more territorial changes. There's a territorial change in Hebron, and then there are three more incremental changes that are to be negotiated between the Israelis and the Palestinians starting this month. So there is a lot that can be done visibly, substantively, between the two sides, even on territory, once they get back and they reaffirm the core commitments.
But there's some question whether this will be enough for the Palestinians, who have lost confidence in Prime Minister Netanyahu. They are angered not only by his failure to redeploy Israeli troops in Hebron, but also by continued restrictions on Palestinian work permits in Israel and by Netanyahu's promise to expand Jewish settlements in the West Bank. Rashid Khalidi of the University of Chicago.
I doubt the Palestinians or people in the Arab world are going to be fooled by that kind of nonsense for very much longer. It's clear that the implementation of this agreement has ceased long since ceased, and that in practice the agreement is inoperative, and that Netanyahu's objective is to basically eviscerate it, gut it, rob it of what little meaning it has left. And he's succeeding so far in doing that with a lot of screaming and yelling and gnashing of teeth, but without anything happening.
Prime Minister Netanyahu will find it hard to redeploy Israeli troops in the West Bank town of Hebron, as called for in the Oslo Accords. Last week's clashes, in which Palestinian police trained their guns on Israeli police, have convinced Netanyahu that security arrangements in Hebron need to be renegotiated before Israeli forces are drawn down. So tomorrow's summit will tackle extremely difficult problems. That's why U.S. officials are lowering expectations today. This is Ted Clark in Washington.